I want to read from John chapter 17. We're going to look at, just over the next few weeks, John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer. You know that we're wanting to focus a lot on prayer in March with the 21 days. This is really important to us, this prayer journey that we'll engage on. But before we do that, I want to look at the high priestly prayer. Next week, Pastor Jimmy Ritchie will be joining us. I've invited Pastor Jimmy Ritchie back. It was many years ago that he first mentored me after I became a Christian as a pastor, and invited him along just to share in the service with us. I just want to renew fellowship again with Jimmy, and he's retired. He's a live wire, and you'll enjoy him speak next week. Please come along and support that. He'll be looking at the prayer of protection that Jesus prays for in this high priestly prayer. But let's read the first five verses together. And after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Let's pray together. Lord, we ask in these moments that your Holy Spirit would fill this place. That, Lord, by the grace of God, you would reach into our lives in these moments and transform them forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The opening verse. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. The posture of prayer. The writer John wants us to picture Jesus looking towards heaven before he speaks. There's symbolism in that. In fact, physical posture may denote the spiritual disposition. Physical posture may denote the spiritual disposition of the person. And that's important. The Bible introduces us into a number of physical postures that people adopt. Are they there simply to act as some sort of Christian aerobics? Or do they denote something deeper that may be going on in the individual? It's important. Or the scriptures wouldn't mention it. But it does so on numerous occasions. Kneeling, raising hands, looking up in prayer. Just for a moment, let's discover what those physical changes in our body or posture may denote. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 141, verse 2. Psalm 141, verse 2. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Lifting up of hands in Scripture denoted a variety of things. In this particular context, it was about like an evening sacrifice, an offering to you. This is what I am giving or giving up. Now, one of the difficulties that I have is that when people try to make this a denominational thing, as if raising of hands was a charismatic experience or a Pentecostal experience or some other denominational experience, it is a biblical expression. I am less interested in which denominations use it, but more of the fact of what it denotes in the Scriptures and what it can denote for us as an individual. You may choose to show how you sacrifice your life in a variety of other ways or physical postures, but in the Scriptures, the raising of hands was an indication that I'm giving up myself. This is all I have that I can give you. And to denote that in its entirety is an expression of being prepared to sacrifice, to lift up our lives to Him. Then I want you to look at 1 Timothy 2 and 8. In case you think that's Old Testament. Sorry, not that one. Would help if I wasn't in Thessalonians, folks. Okay. Beginning at verse 7. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle, and I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer, without anger or disputing. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Now, people may raise their fists and hands in anger. They may show their displeasure at someone else. They may be embracing sin into their lives by causing disputes and engaging in wrath between individuals, causing factions. And Paul says, I don't want this to be happening. I want people to lift up their hands, their holy hands. I want purity of life. I want someone to come and say, I am lifting up hands that are not there to harm others or cause difficulty, but are extended to God. And the beauty of that is that it requires a process of worshiping God before you could lift up such hands. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. I want you to talk to God in this process. I want you to be communing with God as you raise those hands. And it is incumbent upon us all to be in such communion with him. Look at Lamentation chapter 3, verse 41, back into the Old Testament. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 41. Beginning at 40, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. Here, he's saying, if your hands and your hearts, lift them in repentance. Lift up, let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and saying, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. I want you to come in confession. That's what you've done. Hold your hands up. You have been guilty of certain things. And so there's a symbolism involved in this. Just as we would seek to kneel in prayer, Acts chapter 20, verse 36, when Paul knelt with the elders before they parted for the last time, showing a unity of purpose. Psalm 95, verse 6, kneeling in prayer to show our acts of submission. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 16, so that we were praying for others that God would supply their need. We were submitting ourselves to the only one who is the source of supplying such needs. Looking up in prayer, Psalm 121. We're looking up to the hills, but that's not where our strength comes. We have to look beyond that to God, who is our ultimate strength. This passage in John chapter 17, God looking up to heaven. Acts chapter 7, verse 55, again looking up to heaven, seeing the glory of God. And all of these things, these diversity of practices, if we choose to engage in them, these physical gestures to God can sometimes, not always, because they can become a ritual and a routine, and they can be unhappily practiced in so many unsatisfactory ways. But when they are of the heart, when we seek to express physically, in our posture to God, certain things, it does belie, it can reveal, hopefully under God, our submission to God in a variety of things. We can show him our dependency upon him, our ultimate, utter dependency upon him. And all of these three ways of seeking to do that demonstrate a prayerfulness of heart. If we're raising our hands to him, it's because we recognize that we are giving him all that we have. There is nothing more to give than the person he sees who is simply just raising their hands and saying, Lord, take all of me at this moment, all of me. This is all I have, but I give it to you. It may be that I am doing it in a moment's confession with hands in the air and saying, Lord, I am guilty of my misdemeanor, my sinfulness to you. But Lord, I give myself to you in an act of repentance that you forgive me for my sins. It could be an act of total dependence when we fall on our knees in submission before God. As we seek to recognize that God alone is the only one who can act our requests. Just as you would submit yourself in the presence of someone superior to you, so you submit yourself to God. He is our King. He is our Lord. But he is also our protector and our provider And in that moment when we fall on our knees before Him, we are acknowledging His supremacy. The fact that He alone is the one who can make a provision into someone's life. When I kneel before I pray, I hope before God it's not an empty gesture. For me, and I'm not prescripting it for anyone else whatsoever, because what they choose to do, they choose to do. It's not for anyone else, but it's for me. When I kneel, it's simply because I don't want to be the voice that's heard. I don't want my sermon, what I say, to be important. I want God to speak, using my frail words nonetheless, but using them to touch people's lives. Like John the Baptist, pointing to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." So when God speaks through His word, it's because there's a dependence upon Him. When you hold out your hands, there's an accessibility, isn't there? Come to me, Lord. Come to me. When the prodigal was running back to the father held out his arms, willing to receive him. And for me, in that prayerfulness of when we talk to God, when we worship Him, when we're in His presence, we're saying, "Lord, we depend upon You entirely. We recognize that You have forgiven our sins completely." When we kneel in Your presence, we are submitting to Your Lordship. When we're looking up to heaven, Lord, we recognize that You're the source of blessing. When we raise our hands, it's because we want You to have all of us. When we embrace, it's because You're extending Your hands to us. And in that moment, when we think about our accessibility to God, our worship provides the opportunity for communication with God. We want to worship Him. And thus, in His presence, He receives us equally with open arms and extended hands. When we begin our series, and when John records the posture of Jesus at this point, he said, "Jesus looking up to heaven." And if he needed to, so do we. Before he prayed, he made it very, very clear that the one I'm talking to doesn't reside on earth or reside over an earthly kingdom or a human domain. The one I am lifting my eyes to is none other than the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The one I am looking up into heaven towards is the Creator of the universe, who breathes life, who calls something out of nothing. The one I'm looking to today, Jesus said, is the one who provides the authority to heal, to save, to offer grace. We have such an opportunity today to worship Him and pray to Him. And at the end of this journey, if there are not more praying people, we have failed. For how can we live life without Him? Or hope for others if we do not communicate to him or have a beating heart of compassion and grace, unless we hold out our arms to him and say, we welcome you, to all of us, not just to a part of us. We worship you, the one true living God. What is the posture that you're going to adopt today? Not just physically, but spiritually. Have you bowed your heart before him? Have you resisted him and held him at arm's length? Are you self-sufficient and of no need of him? Or do you simply encompass all three of these postures and say, Lord, forgive me. I am giving myself up to you today. I'm kneeling before you as the King of Kings, and I'm looking up to heaven because you're going to be the source of blessing and power for me and for your people here today. Amen.